Hola.
Marco.
Hi.
Hello.
You sound far away. Are you in a hollow room?
I'm in the kitchen trying to get stuff cooked and cleaned and all that good stuff.
Good evening. We will be starting section 5 of Lech Lecha, and that's we're going to start with verse 21. I'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkin Tebi Hiluurchimu Hiluurchimu Le'akda L'shem Yudhei Bavate V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kamenei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kamenehu Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha. Amar Rabbi Elazar lech lecha legarmach leyatkana garmach leyatkana darga ilach lech lecha leit ant kedai kemeika. The translation. Now Hashem said to Avram, get you out. Literally, go for yourself. According to Rabbi Elazar, the phrase, go for you, means for yourself. In other words, go out for yourself to fulfill yourself and complete your grade. Get you out, for you must not stay here among the wicked. My commentary. This is a very deep spiritual lesson that only the Kabbalists learn. The modern spiritual New Age systems do not know this. Every action is based on a desire to receive. There is no true desire to receive. There is no such thing as altruism. We do for ourselves. The Kabbalists know that receiving for the sake of sharing is the only way to permanently receive the goodness of the Creator and keep it permanently in this world. And the world that is coming, that will transform our physical world into heaven on earth. That is why the Kabbalist does what he does. Questions, comments, thoughts.
What does it mean that's what a Kabbalist do what they do?
What do you think they do?
Well, they teach.
Say again?
And
they reveal secrets of the Torah. They teach the secrets. They move to the right side. And I guess you could call that all sharing.
A Kabbalist is a spiritual guide. A Kabbalist goes out of this world into the spiritual world and presents a defense for his students in the spiritual world against the charges of the Satan in the nightly court. He defends the actions of his students. He tries to inject mercy into the judgment of that Beit Din at night so that the process is not strict judgment on his students. This is what a Kabbalist does. He has accepted the responsibility of the spiritual growth of his students. And in order to do that, he needs to be listened to when they plan what is the best way to motivate spiritual growth for the soul of that student.
Okay.
From personal experience, it's an amazing experience to observe how the Kabbalist does that. Most people do not remember those nightly courts, those nightly Beit Dins, but they happen every night.
So they have visions and images at night to be able to participate in the heavenly courts. They remember, I guess is what you're saying, they remember their visit.
They may or may not remember their visit. But if you've ever, for those of us few who have remembered the Beit Dins, we remember our spiritual guides presenting a case, presenting a defense, presenting a recommendation to inject mercy into the strict judgment that the Satan is presenting to the court as what should happen to that person in the next day. A Beit Din in the heaven is not like a Beit Din in the physical world. A Beit Din is saying, we know this soul is going to reach completion. Does he reach the completion with strict judgments so that all of the negative things will happen to him as rapidly as possible? Or is it going to be the strict judgments are going to be brought into his life step by step, slowly, so that he has the time to adjust? That's a merciful aspect.
So you as a Kabbalist, do you remember your Bet Din, your heavenly Bet Dins for your students?
You never ask. First off, I'm not a Kabbalist. I'm a student of Kabbalah, just like you.
Okay.
But you learn to not ask a question like that, because if I was a Kabbalist and I was asked that question, would it be the best thing for you to hear that answer? And if the answer to the Kabbalist is it's not the best thing, but he cannot lie. It's not that he doesn't want to lie. Because he knows it's best for you not to learn the answer. So you have to be respectful of what information you are supposed to receive. I will tell you a story of one of my students who, when I met him, was following a path of corruption. And we worked together to learn Kabbalah. And he described a vision that he had one night, and whether I remembered it or not is not important. He remembered it. And he described it to me in an email, which I still have somewhere in one of my past computers. And I will just, you know, paraphrase the email. He was in the Bet Din and he saw the Satan presenting a plan for me for tomorrow. And he saw somebody who was my spiritual guide ask that the Satan, or that Hashem, or the Bet Din, would allow mercy to be injected into the plan that Satan had presented. He explained that the whole Bet Din is based on love, based on chesed. Both Satan and the defense wants what is best for that soul. And what is best for that soul is to grow spiritually. So the question becomes, what will make that soul grow spiritually? What will motivate him in his free will to achieve spiritual growth? And he described that after the Bet Din was over, that he actually spoke at the Bet Din and said that if there was no other merit for that plan to be based on mercy, it should be based on the fact that he was teaching him, that I was teaching him, and that should be merit enough that they would inject mercy into the process. And that takes place every night for every soul who's on a spiritual path. And anybody can speak up at the Bet Din as a reason for why mercy should be injected. If you go on YouTube and look for near-death experiences for Jewish people, you will find all of them. One of them is like a two-hour description of this Israeli man who he was out of his body. He was in a near-death experience, And the Satan was saying there was no merit. It was time for him to leave the world. And so they called for anybody to bring some good deed that he did, because he was not a religious man. He was an Israeli secular value. And he was waiting, and he was waiting, and nobody stepped forward, and he was crying, "Won't somebody speak up for me?" And finally this woman came up out of Gehinnom. And she said, her testimony was, when he was a boy, as a 14, 15-year-old, he and his brother came to the cemetery with their father to visit their grandfather. And since they were bored, their father would visit his father, and they went looking around and saw they saw stones that had been overgrown. They saw stones that were dirty. So they cleaned them, because their father was there for an hour, hour and a half, and they were bored. They needed something to do. So they picked the weeds out of the ground, out of the stones, off the stones. They swept the stones. And based on that action and her testimony, because she was one of the people who were buried that they cleaned the grave, based on her testimony, he was allowed to return from his near-death experience. And based on his memory of that Beth Din, he became Baal Tshuva and became very religious, living in Israel in an Orthodox manner. You can find that on YouTube if you're looking for it. I don't remember I don't have the link, and I don't remember the name. But there's a number of them that are very similar experiences. There's a Rabbi Anava, who at the age of 29 had a near-death experience and became Baal Tshuva, and now he's a very big rabbi with a big following of people that he's teaching Kabbalah and various aspects of the teachings. But I want to close the discussion, although you may ask questions afterwards. I want to close the discussion with the thought: it is not the Kabbalist's job to teach you. The Kabbalist's job is to be your spiritual guide and to be your defender in the Beth Dins at night, which is one of the reasons that they wake up at midnight and go through the whole night. They generally go to sleep around 9 o'clock at night, and then they wake up at midnight, sometimes like 1 o'clock, so they're getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep. And the rest of the night, they're studying the Zohar. But what they're really doing is injecting mercy into the Bet Din of their students. Any other questions and comments you'd like to make?
Well, I was wondering about the phrase in the verse, "and complete your grade." Did that mean complete his tikkun?
Yes.
Is that the meaning of grade? Okay.
I'm looking for the word. Hold on a second. I'm in the wrong place, but to fulfill yourself and complete your grade means to complete your tikkun, and your grade is the sefirah, that is your level of consciousness that you are to achieve through your process of correction of tikkun.
I have another question.
Go ahead, Martha.
If you're a student of the Kabbal, then we are a student of your with you learning. So
yes.
Who would be our teacher? If a Kabbalist is not a teacher, who are we students of? Which Kabbalist
Your students of mine. Your students of mine until you say he can't teach me anymore and I need to find another teacher.
Okay, so you're not a teacher, but you are a teacher. You're teaching us what.
Listen carefully.
I'm listening.
What you said was earlier in this question. You said student of Kabbal. Kabbal means in Hebrew means a student of the assembly, a student of the community. I am a student of Kabbalah. I am on a spiritual path. Once you are on a spiritual path, you have the responsibility to learn, and you have the responsibility to share what you learn. You have the responsibility to share what you learn, which means you have the responsibility to teach. I am your teacher until such time as you feel that I'm not teaching you anymore. That you've learned what I have to teach you, and then you'll find another teacher. Remember the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Now the question that you need to be asking yourself, who is your spiritual guide? Who is your Kabbalist? And if you do not have a spiritual guide, you do not have a rabbi or a rebbe, then I act as that to the best of my ability. Because I'm teaching you, which means if you do an action of negativity, some of that action is going to be my burden. So it's to my benefit to act as your guide to make sure you know what's the right thing to do and how to find the right time and how to find the right place and how to have the right consciousness so that you can be your own spiritual guide. Because in our generation, we don't have Kabbalists like we once did, even 25, 30 years ago. We had the Rebbe from Chabad. We had Rabbi Berg from the Kabbalah Center. We had Rabbi Kaduri. We had Rabbi Baba Sali. We had a few spiritual guides. And the teachers that we got had their spiritual guides. But in this generation now, the last 20 years, in my opinion, we don't have these spiritual guides. We have to do the learning ourselves. Let me give you an example. You all know that there's the mitzvah of family purity. But how do you determine what is when your period is over? You count the 7 days from when you know your period is over. But you have to go to someone who is knowledgeable, who can look at a pad and say, yes, it's over. Who are those people today? Well, in your generation, the last 20 years, those people have been taught and trained and studied, and they work in the mikvahs, and they are generally women, not men as it was in the past. Why? Because women are more sensitive to the issue altogether. But wouldn't it be better for you to learn how to read that pad yourself? So where do you go to learn? That's where Satan comes in and blocks the sight of many women who have that desire. And I've had students who've asked me how to learn and who to go to. And I would go into a meditation and I'd be given an answer as to where that particular student was to go to learn. Now, does that make me a Kabbalist? No. Because there's so many other areas. I don't know the specifics of how to read a path, but I can help you find what is the right path for you. That's what I have learned, and that's what makes me a student of Kabbalah. And I'm fortunate that there are very few of the women are young enough to still need to read the path. But I do have a few. Any other questions? We're about out of time, so.
Okay.
But that whole verse in Lech Lecha, that first verse, is so powerful. The words Lech Lecha, but the next word is Artzecha. And it goes on, and if you read the translation, you have these five levels. Go for yourself, leave your father's house, go to the land that I will show you. All of these words, this verse is so powerful, and that's what this section is teaching us from the Zohar.
So is it teaching us that we ourselves have to correct our tikkun, and no one can do that but ourselves? I mean, we can have some studies like we do now to help us understand the process, but we are to go for ourselves to do this correction.
Correct. That is what is being taught in this verse. You have to do it yourself. In earlier generations, 200 years ago, the peasant, for lack of a better word, living in the town, who did his study. He studied with his rabbi. He went to a lecture once or twice or three times a week, maybe even daily. But he had to earn a living. But he paid the rabbi to learn everything he needed to know, so he could always go to the rabbi and get his answer of what he was to do. And the rabbi, if he was fortunate enough, if he became a chassid, as an example, there were others other than the chassidim, but generally speaking, if he followed a rabbi who was a chassid, he was a Kabbalist. He studied the Zohar. He learned what we're learning. And you know yourself, you've been studying with me, Chana, for the longest, but all of you, for a number of years. And your knowledge, people ask you questions, and initially you don't think you know the answer, but all of a sudden it's in your mind and you give them the answer. And you've had that experience over and over. I know Hannah has because she's related it to me, but Each of you have had it in your own way. And that's an indication that you're connected to Hashem. Because he's giving you the answer in order to help other people when they ask the questions. So each one of you is a student of Kabbalah, providing the service, providing the help to others when the questions are asked of you. It's not an intellectual process. It's not an intellectual what's going on here. It's a very serious process, learning of the Kabbalah, the study of the Kabbalah, because you have the responsibility, whoever comes into your life, to share what you've learned. And each of you do that in your own way, at your own level. And if you didn't, I would be told to talk to you about it. Because ultimately, I have some responsibility for keeping you on track, keeping you following a spiritual path. And the danger that I have and the danger that you have is to take away one of your students' free will by giving them an answer that allows them to think that if all they have to do is follow your advice. They do that, they're going to get into trouble. Because each person has to fulfill themselves. Each person has to go lech lecha, to go out for themselves. And we never get away from the desire to receive for oneself alone. That is a spiritual path. But not from the concept of for myself and not the other person. When you have the consciousness to share with the other person, then you're following the path of a student of Kabbalah. Any questions? I'm expecting the knock at the door shortly.
Okay. Okay.
So now I'm going to ask each one of you a rhetorical question, meaning you ask it of yourself, but don't answer it. Don't answer it out loud. Are you a Kabbalist or a student of Kabbalah? Are you willing to accept the responsibility of the people who ask you questions? Or are you at the level that one of the people in this building is? He went to yeshiva at the age of 3. He's now 68 years old. And everybody in the building goes to him to ask questions of halakha. And he refuses to answer them because he will not accept the responsibility. He tells them to go to another rabbi. He has the knowledge, but they won't accept the responsibility. What's his tikkun? You know enough to know what his tikkun is. So I've asked you two rhetorical questions. Are you a student of Kabbalah, and are you willing to accept the responsibility of being a student of Kabbalah? And if you have a need to talk to me about these questions, feel free to do so. So now that I've made your life clear as mud, are there any other questions?
Well, if we have a minute, I'll tell you, you know, the lady that asked to stay this weekend, I had Jess again. She was a student of mine several years ago. And at the Shabbat meal, you know, Tony takes the first piece set aside for the Satan. Well, she didn't know about that, so we talked about that. Also, we did the final waters. And her, you know, her question was, she hasn't had any more classes with the teacher per se, and I don't know. We got into the discussion of what was new, of what we had done that we had not done before for Shabbat. So I was able to share those two things, and then with Brandy, we also did final waters for the afternoon, and it was so easy because you had made it so clear to me. I was having such a problem with how do I bring these containers to the table and that kind of thing. But she said we could just go to the sink, and which made it real, real easy. It was very simple to get up before we said Birkat Hamazon and go back. You know, so that was good, and to know that Psalm 67 fit in with it as well from your class, from the RE on the final waters. So
it all came together. Mm-hmm. And you see how Hashem provides you the answers. You ask the question, mm-hmm. you get the answers, and then you get the experience of doing it.
All right. And then I gave her your web address.
Baruch Hashem. The knock on the door just came. I have to leave.
Okay.
You all have a beautiful evening. Questions and answers tonight. Bye-bye.
Okay. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.